All right. What up, guys? We have a very special guest, longtime friend of mine from way back in the day. For any of you guys out there who have been around the dating seduction community since David D'Angelo was a name, I'm guessing not a whole lot because it was a long time ago. But our guest today was actually featured on his dating, what was it called, Marty?
The Double Fear of Attraction. I'm not sure if I love this interview. Now I just sound old with that. How you're introducing me. And I'm wearing a bathrobe. It's like I'm not really making a good impression on your listeners.
No, you're an OG dating coach like
that's
myself.
A better way. OG.
Yeah, the original gangster, like back when the game was still a thing.
Right? That's so crazy.
So,
so crazy. It's just totally transformed since you and I met for the first time. It's a whole new industry, which I like because you and I have always been on the same page in not teaching routines and pickup lines, but actually teaching inner game. So
and we've been around.
That was our whole goal, right?
Yeah. And we're some of the few people that are still in the industry. And to formally introduce you, Marnie, the wing girl, the wing girl method. I think you got into this. I got into it as a student for Pickup 101 back in 2006. I did my first boot camp. When did you start the Wing Girl Method?
I started in 2004. Randomly was at a rabbi's house / singles mixer, and I made a joke about being a wing girl because nobody was talking to each other, and people liked the idea. So I kept moving forward. And after that Friday night that I had started a business, I went back about 2 weeks later and randomly Ross Jeffries was there. We were sitting and it was me and my best friend, Nina, who I actually think he met as well. And we were talking about this business that we had started. Oh, we're going to be wing girls for guys, blah, blah, blah. And everybody was so fascinated and interested because people love talking about relationships and dating. And then this guy from across the tables, like slid his card down the table and said, we need to talk. And I was like, okay. And it was Ross Jeffries.
Mr. Speed Seduction.
Yeah. And it was him. And I had no clue who he was. And he kept talking about all these like words that I'd never heard before, like pickup artist terms and pickup artist people. And you have to meet this person and this person, and this one, you have to meet my friend Neil. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but we became quick friends. And he really introduced me to that community and that world, which was like, I feel like if there is, I don't know, what is it called in Judaism of like fate, but there's another word for it. I should totally know it, but whatever that was, like how random is it that at that point I had started a business to help men attract women. And the next 2 weeks at the same location, I would happen to meet like the grandfather, he is the OG of the
pickup community. He really is.
And he just opened the whole world to me and also introduced me to David D'Angelo, who I then stalked so that I could become a part of the seminar that he then invited me to. So that was my introduction to the pickup world. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've never asked you that story. I've never heard that story before. And I was always kind of curious, like how you ended up, you know, this is also kind of just like happenstance from living in like, you know, west side of LA, Marina Del Rey, like everyone was.
Oh, for sure. That's where all of them are. Yeah. But isn't that random? A lot of pickup artists are Canadian. I'm Canadian. And then a lot of that pickup world happened to live in that one sector of Los Angeles. It's just crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Canadian Jews.
Yes. Seriously.
And a non-Canadian Jew, American Jew. But it's, it's so funny because even, like they credit Eben Pagan, who's David D'Angelo, they credit him as being like the father of internet marketer, like the father of like the squeeze page.
Yeah.
And you know, like basically every business these days has a huge, you know, online presence and all of those marketing sort of things were kind of created from like the pickup industry.
That's what I believe. I don't know if that is true, but that was the first place in space that I'd ever seen something like that. Because I do remember when I did go to speak at the seminar. I was like, oh, I'm going to go speak in front of 300 guys. I'm going to get 10 clients from it. It's going to be great. I had low expectations of myself, obviously, but I was just thinking, like, the potential is wonderful. I'm going to meet all these other people who do the same thing that I do. And then when I got there and I saw all the cameras that were set up, I was like, oh, he's filming this. And then I started talking to other people and they're like, yeah, he's filming this. He's going to distribute it to the people he does online marketing. And at that point I was like, I don't even know what online marketing is, but I remember going to his website after and really just copying everything that he did because I didn't fully understand it. And now it's a massive business that everybody's doing, but it is interesting because it does closely relate to attracting women, talking to women, dating women, like building out businesses and squeeze pages and funnels are very closely tied to women, which I
it's attraction, right? It's like getting people to say yes to your invitations, getting a woman on a date, getting her to, you know, continue a conversation with you. It's like, you know, the whole sort of like internet marketing is just getting someone to like have a conversation with you, right? Taking a random person, some hot girl hanging out at a bar, right? Like, how do you get her to keep talking to you and maybe go on a date with you? It's the same shit.
Exactly. You know? 15 years ago when internet marketing started, or I don't even know if that's the exact like birth date of that happening, but when I really discovered it, it was all about giving these like, you know, grand stories and hitting you in the heart, which is very similar to the pickup community, because that was based on a ton of routines and a lot of showmanship that went along to actually create and build attraction. And now internet marketing, as well as dating, has started to veer much more towards authenticity, honesty, that you don't need to have like all these bells and whistles and fireworks to sell somebody. You can actually just sell somebody by being freaking awesome and not covering any of that up, which is what you and I actually talked about on the live that we did a few weeks ago on my Facebook Live, which I love. And you're going to do a repeat when you come onto my podcast and talk about what we discussed. But that was very, very close to what we covered during that time.
Yeah, it's kind of like doing, kind of going the opposite way of the crowd. You know, it's like in the beginning, all that shit kind of worked. Or at least would get attention because
it was just new,
right? You know, like no one was doing it. But then once you see the same bullshit over and over, you're like, all right, this is obviously scripted or this is obviously an advertisement, right? Like humans are pretty savvy and we're like, okay, this, I see what's going on beneath the surface. And then it's like the authentic thing actually works, which is how it should be in the first place.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're new to the market or if it's a new market, you can totally get in there quick with the snake oil.
But isn't that funny, like how it is all so closely tied? And I think like a lot of guys, if they are having trouble with understanding this dating space and how to interact with women, if they can apply like a business model to understand it or a more logical model to see exactly what we're talking about, I think that can be more helpful so that they can transfer that over to actually interacting with women. And I think
I always try to like when I onboard a new client, I give him like the, you know, internet marketing / funnel conversation, you know, funnels 101, like dating is just a series of funnels. You've got your online dating funnel. You've got maybe the, you know, your meeting people in social environments funnel. You've got your meeting women out and about doing whatever you're doing funnel. And that's just going to funnel leads. And then if you're good at, you know, converting those leads to dates and converting those dates to a relationship, then you're going to have abundance, just like cash, you know?
Yeah, it is. It totally is. It's so funny. I've never really had like this conversation before, but they are so closely related to each other. They are the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You just interchange, you know, sales, dating, what's the difference? But so tell me, I don't think I really ever asked you this either, but in the beginning, so you were, before you kind of came out with the Wing Girl Method and did a lot of the online marketing, and kind of built a business around it. You were actually going out and taking guys out. You hired other girls to do it.
23 girls that were working for me at
23.
Yeah. For a small period of time. And then I realized a couple of things. One, I was not running myself as a proper business. So I could totally get in trouble if anything ever happened after any of these girls introduced these guys to other girls or something happened to these girls. And two, I was a Canadian citizen. I could totally like get kicked out of the country if I continued this. Well, actually, I realized a third thing as well, that a man who needs a woman to attract women is not really the kind of man that I want to be dating. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be true for other women as well, because even though we were definitely helping these guys out by being with them in person and helping them tweak things like on the spot, the actual attraction from the women that we were introducing them to, because they weren't at a place and space where they could confidently carry things for themselves, it didn't work against them, but it didn't give them the ultimate outcome that they were looking for from that evening, and the outcome that I was looking for from that evening as well, which was great success and them walking off with women.
Right. It
gave them attention from women, a foot in the door, and a great space and place to practice, which I loved in the very beginning. But I shortly learned that these men need much more of a base. Like what you were talking about before is building up these funnels. They need to have their funnels in place first before they can fully utilize somebody like me and the other girls that were working for me, so that I'm literally just the foot in the door and the thing that attracts women to them, and then they're fine on their own after.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I tell guys as they're going through this process, and this happened to me as well. I remember I was telling a buddy back in the day, he was kind of giving me shit because this girl I was into wasn't interested in me. And I was like, yeah, I'll just use her as a wing girl. You know, I'll go out with her and we're friends, and you know, she doesn't want me, but like, she's hot. So other girls are going to see me with her. And by default, think I'm like pre-selected or whatever, right? You probably like me. And he's like, no man, like that doesn't work, unfortunately, because every girl that sees you guys interacting sees that she doesn't want you, because girls are very good at reading that and guys aren't. And if she doesn't want you and you're not good enough for her, and it's her friend or anyone else, like you're not good enough for the girl who's looking at you either. And I'm like,
and she's trying to pass you off onto other people. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So the whole like getting friend zoned and then using that girl as a wing woman just doesn't work, unfortunately, because women are too savvy. Like you guys can see, like, all right, she's definitely not banging him. So clearly, like, right.
The only time that something like that actually does work, which is funny, is if like the wing girl that you're with is playing it off correctly, that she wants you and you don't want her, and you prearranged that before.
Totally.
Or if what happens is, which I'm sure was what happened or potentially could have happened in your case, because you were already, I'm not sure if you were already great with women at that point, but when you are at that point where you are great with women and you go out with this girl who wasn't interested in you because she saw you in a certain light, when she sees you interacting with other women, she could potentially then become more attracted to you, which will make other women also more attracted to you, because there's some sort of challenge there. So it does work in certain situations. But if, as you, I know you were going to continue saying this, if that guy's not at that great level yet of confidence and character and many other pieces that go into play with that, then it can backfire on him for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more like the situation where I knew she had a lot of, you know, cute friends. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking like, oh, okay, well, I struck out with her. I can just meet all of her friends and hopefully succeed with them. But like, they're all going to ask like, oh, how do you know Robbie? She's going to be like, oh, you know, we're friends. They might ask like, did you guys hook up? And she's like, no, I'm not really into him. Then all the others are going to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm not into him either. If you're not into him, I'm not into him.
Not that. But I'm just saying, because I'm seeing you now, I know that you could carry yourself well. And I know that in that group, would have been a few girls who would have been like, oh no, I'm into him. That's fine. If you're not into him, I'm into him.
Yeah, no, this was earlier on in the journey. And this was also, these were more, I don't know, these wouldn't be really girls that you would maybe want to hang out with. They're kind of more like the vapid model ho sort of crowd. So, you know, there was very much like
the girls that you wanted at that time. Don't
exactly.
Don't
exactly.
Woman it down for me and try to.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where it was more like, oh, you hooked up with him. Let's hook up with him together, sort of thing. Or you didn't hook up with him. Oh, I'm not interested.
Right. You know? And he must be bad. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I just remember finding that was kind of like an aha moment for me where I was like, okay, like it's not just as so simple, you know, like people are pretty savvy and they can see through these sort of things. So tell me what happened after you kind of pivoted away from the wing, like just providing wing girls.
I started copying Eben Pagan, and I started creating systems online. I actually started with this one video that was 18 minutes long that I was selling for like $27. And it was called How to Become a Man Women Want. And it was walking men through the three key attributes or key things that women are attracted to and telling guys how to actually embrace and embody these attributes or things. And now it's like a whole full blown out system that I've created. But initially it was like an 18 minute video, and I was selling that program for a very long time, and then did a lot of in-person coaching afterwards with guys, or phone coaching if they live somewhere else. But I wanted to give men that base first. They had to complete and really take on that first level of awareness. And once they were at that level, then they could utilize me more, because they weren't leaning on me for their confidence. They had the confidence within themselves, and then they could learn all the other tools and skill sets that were needed.
Gotcha. What happened to all those 23 girls?
Well, some of them were crazy. I was horrible. I was 24 at the time, and hiring all these girls. I had no idea how to actually hire people. So they just went off onto their own. But there were a few girls who I would get calls from the clients afterwards saying, like, we were out. I was out with Marissa, for example. And she ended up flirting with this other guy for like 45 minutes and not really talking to me. Or I'm out with Kathy, and she's been talking to this one girl that I've been trying to attract for like the past quarter. So I didn't know how to run a business at that point. So a couple of them I do still keep in touch with, and they're all doing their own thing now. But initially it was a whole bunch of like models and actresses and really pretty girls in Los Angeles that I hired to go out with these guys and have them look good.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's how we hired a lot of the girls that we would use for our workshops and events too. You Craigslist, whatever, like.
Lots right. Of and well, then I realized work. Like, yeah. Then, do you remember Josh Pelitzer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I met him, and he taught me about Myers-Briggs, and that was really important because he taught me how to hire people properly that fit in with what I was trying to accomplish, so that they could actually learn my curriculum, which is actually, I think, a really great way to select partners as well. But once I started using that to hire people, I ended up getting attractive people who actually knew how to be ego-free and empathetic and intuitive with the clients that I work with now.
What's your Myers-Briggs, by the way?
ENFJ.
ENTP.
Oh, ENTP. Okay.
ENTP. Most of the guys in, you know, that come through this process are, I think, INTJs, right?
Or IS. There are lots of S's, not a lot of
IS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating to go through that stuff. And I mean, it's so spot on.
Yeah.
You know? So what was it kind of like? Because I remember you got married a little while after we met. What was it kind of like being a dating coach, like having all this awareness and going on dates with guys? Like, how often would they get intimidated by like your job or just the whole thing and be like, oh my God, just, you know, this girl can see all my moves or my plays. Like, you know,
to be honest, the guys that I ended up attracting and going out with were more fascinated by what it was that I was doing and weren't intimidated by it. I don't think I would have gotten to that stage of going out with guys who were intimidated by the fact that I could see things, right? Or that I had experience in certain areas. I will say it probably helped me with my dating because it turned it into kind of a fun game. I was still really into my business. Not that I'm not into it now, but I'm doing, like, it was still very new for me when I was dating. So I found it interesting to talk about if the guys that I was dating at the time also had an interesting spin and could also take it off of the topic of my business and put it into their business or their world as well, so that we could expand on the conversation. I always found it extremely interesting. Yeah, but none of the guys that I ever dated during that time period were put off by it. They were kind of amazed by it, I guess, and really respected what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good kind of litmus test. Because I always had when you're out with a girl first date and they ask you what you do and you're like, I'm a dating coach, and right? I teach.
Yeah, that must be harder for you, to be honest.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, you get the question, well, what qualifies you? Or are you using tricks on me or this or that or the other? So, depending
on the player, which is actually, it's good for you, but it doesn't really build it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you can just own it, then yeah, it's good. But in the beginning, when you're like, oh, she might think I'm a player, and you're not owning it, then it just becomes kind of like this weird, I don't know, it turns into like just a weird vibe sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to kind of overcome that and like when to bring it up or when not to. And
in the very beginning, oh, I own my own business.
I would usually bring it up because it was always fascinating to talk about it. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm a business. I help guys meet women and attract girls, blah, blah, blah.
You could be that forthcoming with what it was right away. It's interesting because I always used to think, what would I think if I wasn't in my world? Even being in my world and I dated another dating coach, what would I think? Like,
right.
I think it would make me freeze right away and I would evaluate everything that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been secure enough to date a dating coach when I was dating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would lead with that. And then what worked was obviously being authentic, right? After that, they'd be like, well, what qualifies you or blah, blah, blah. And if I was like, well, listen, I've done this and I've done that. But I was like, well, actually I just really sucked at dating and I had no fucking idea what I was doing. So I went and I, learned some stuff because I'd never really been on a date until like I got into the working world and then just some nerds on the internet like started paying me for my advice. So like, why am I qualified? Because people pay me, but there's no reason why.
I would be won over by that right away. Like that's just so authentic and real instead of some of like these douchey responses that I could picture other people saying.
I went to NLP training school and I'm
a therapist. That's what I would think, even though it may not be true, but exactly the way that you just presented it is so authentic.
Well, it took a little while to kind of come to that. In the beginning, I was definitely fumbling around with it a little bit more. I don't think it ever for lack of a better word, like cock blocked me, but it definitely led to some interesting interactions, conversations, and some jabs. When breakups happened later, a lot of the time the girls would blame it on the fact that I was a dating coach, that like, I guess they would kind of use that as a way to justify why we broke up in a sense.
Oh, interesting.
I would say, I just don't think it's a good fit or, blah, 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 or I'm just not into it. And they would just be like, well, you're just a player and a stupid dating coach and blah, blah, blah. I was like, what are you going to say to that?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a scorned woman. So that sucks. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but breakups are hard. What can you do? Boo-hoo. So when we were hanging out in Marina Del Rey, and you were growing your business and doing the internet marketing thing, from what I've seen out there recently, like you're one of the only people that I think advertises on Facebook or somehow is able to advertise on Facebook, which
there are tons of other people, but yeah, I'm one of the few who is able to. Yeah.
Cause it's tough because every time I've tried to advertise, I've always gotten my accounts shut down because of dating or whatever. How have you managed to like continue finding channels to do that?
I don't know, to be honest. I have a team that does it. I know that at a certain point I got whitelisted, but I do know that our accounts get shut down all the time. And we have a heavy appeals process for it to show that we're not breaking any rules or regulations. And we know how to stay away from certain terminology and promises, which the truth is, like what we were talking about before with razzle dazzle, I don't use a lot of that language to promote what it is that I do. So I know that's what's made it a bit easier for me. But there are tons of people who are advertising on their inner space now and who have been able to work around it as well.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe. I don't
spend. But I know that it's extremely difficult. I've never actually run my own ads. I've had somebody else run them for me. And I've always been able to do a workaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my next question. And I get a lot of guys who are really, you know, I talk about dating and stuff all the time on the show, but people are typically more interested in like growing businesses and internet marketing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so like when you, obviously you kind of just, you know, you had an idea and you dove into it and then you realized like, wow, this is actually like I can grow a real business here, linked up with Eben and promoted it that way. Like, how did you then kind of transition from just like, you know, just kind of like a fun sort of wing girl thing to more of like the real business? Did you study internet marketing?
In my own way, yes, I studied internet marketing. I didn't buy like a million books and consume myself with everything. I'm more of a talker. So I talked to people, and that's always been my thing from day one. Like when I liked the idea of being a wing girl, I didn't shut up about it. I talked to every single person about it. I wanted to pick their brain about everything and anything, whether they were a business person or whether they were something else that could be tied to what I was doing. I was constantly telling people about what I was doing and trying to get as much information about them, about what they're doing, again, whether they were an internet marketer or not. And so what I think really took me from this cute idea that I was getting lots of PR for, because I worked in PR at the time. So before I even had a website, I was, you know.
Oh, okay. So you had
like,
a little bit
of. That's what I was more focused on, was like building up. It was stupid. That wasn't a good business move. I went on to all these radio shows and I only had a landline phone number without call waiting and no answering machine. And I was promoting it was like a stupid mistake. But what really helped me was once I figured out that there was a community to be a part of, which was the pickup artist community at that time, mainly, or male dating coaches, I made an effort to introduce myself to every single person that I could. So when I did go and speak at David D'Angelo's seminar, I didn't just wait for my turn to go speak on stage. I was talking to every single person there and finding out other ways to network with them. Mm-hmm. And I quickly learned about all these people having lists. And then all of them did interviews with each other, very similar to what we're doing now. And I started doing that as well. I would then find a way to create a list for myself so that I had an audience to share with other people. Then I would find out ways to be interviewed by people and to have them interview me. In the very beginning, it was kind of easy because I was the only woman in this world at that time. So right away, that was something different and like fresh content for them. Now it's a little bit different. There's a million women who do what I do. Not as good as me, but still. I'm the OG, yeah. But that was my, I feel like it's my biggest asset, that I recognize that networking is extremely essential in any business that you're in. And curiosity is the next biggest thing that I would say, to always be curious about what other people are doing so that you can figure out ways you can help them and they can potentially help you.
Yeah. And it's cool too. What you said reminded me of a term or a saying, like, you know, you can either compete or you can compliment. Right. And like, here you are, there's all these other people kind of offering a similar competitive product. Right. But obviously if you look at it like, oh, they're all competitors, why would they want to promote me? Then you'll never get anywhere and they'll always be over there and you'll always be over here. Or if you're just looking at it like, how can I make friends and, you know, talk about the stuff and share them and they share us and everyone kind of grows together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. Like we had this group called the Seduction Syndicate that started off with 13 people. And that was the mentality behind it. We grow together. There's enough people in the world that are going to resonate with different versions of us. And it's the same thing in all of these worlds, if you look at like celebrities, they all elevate each other. If you look at people who are in the tech world, they all elevate each other. People who are in the legal world, like in government, you all grow up together. And then once you get higher, you raise each other up together. That's how all these
things. Yeah, you're growing, you know, people think like, oh, there's a, you know, there's a static, you know, size of that market, right? Oh, that market is XYZ million people or whatever. And it's like, there's only X number of people competing for all of those clients. But it's like, no, if you all work together and grow awareness of the market grows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what happened with the pickup and seduction community. It was like, yeah, in the beginning, tiny market, but now it's so mainstream, you know, that you, and the market is like every guy, right?
You know, it should be every guy. That was the whole thing. Like, it was so underground before and actually very sad for men. Like, women had this totally above board support group continuously. There was, there's all, you know, there's all these articles for them and these books for them. And it's, you're allowed to talk about it on TV shows and like Oprah. Like, there were all these places and spaces for them to get information and help and advice. But for men, it just wasn't out there either, because other people were shutting it down as something that men don't need, or men themselves were shutting it out as something that they don't want to be publicly educated on.
Right.
And I don't really know what the answer is of where it actually came from, but I do like that, because more people got into this world and I think elevated the brand as a whole, as you were talking about, it did become more mainstream, and now it's very acceptable for men to seek advice. Like, I remember, I'm sure you got this too, in the very beginning when you were working, when people would say, oh my God, what kind of losers do you work with? And I remember my response was like, some of the best men in the world who know that if they can't do something, they ask for help. Those are strong men. And I remember getting like so insulted by that statement. Cause I was
it's awkward when people say that. Cause it's like, you have to like, either you have to just kind of like laugh it off, or you have to be like, actually you're a fucking asshole and you're an idiot by saying like, no, they're a hell of a lot more aware and smarter than you, because you're, that's your response. It's like,
come on. It shows a lot about that other person, but no, I don't get that reaction as much now.
Yeah. I don't get it. That's really interesting you say that, cause I used to get that all the time. And I think a lot of it too could have been just a posturing thing, you know, because a lot of the time I'm way more open to telling women what I do than telling guys, because the second I tell a guy what I do, a lot of the time he'll start being like, oh yeah, like who would need that, you know, like who are these losers you coach? And I'm like, like, I don't want to tell you that you're, you know,
you're like a perfect candidate for somebody that I could be coaching. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's interesting to hear that guys would say that to you as well.
Guys and girls, both. It was always interesting, but I'm definitely not hearing that comment.
Yeah. I don't hear it nearly as much either. Yeah. So it's cool. I don't know if me and Brian or I ever told you, but we were like the biggest like internet marketing, sort of training fish. We spent so much money on like seminars and like going to this event and this event and buying this
product. I do remember that. You guys did a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We did a lot of training and most of it didn't pay off, unfortunately. And we were just like total. And this is kind of how I was in the beginning too, with like the dating stuff out there. Like, I bought every fucking product there was, like, you know, get a girl home in 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Learn this, learn that. Like, I'm such a marketing fish that I almost, you know, the term poker fish, like there's always a sucker at the table. Like, the fish is like all the sharks are trying to eat.
Oh, I know. Okay, got it. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. So if you're like an internet marketing fish, it means you just buy everything that you don't need, or you buy everything for the, you know, the magic pill or the quick fix. Right. So so Brian and I took a ton of seminars and, you know, spent so much money on like learning the business, but really the only thing that worked was kind of what you described, which is like networking with other dating coaches and then growing
that's what grows it for sure. I will say, so I'm at this new point in my business where that part is definitely a part of it for sure.
Yeah.
But it's like a legit business.
Yeah.
And there is more business knowledge that's needed and more structure. Like, I know that there's a threshold. I can only go so high if I continue doing what I'm doing. And if I want to jump into that next category, then I have to become more of a legit business. Like, I have a team of like 15 people right now. That's a lot
of
people. But like, to go to that next level, this is what I'm realizing, that there has to be more processes in place, more structure in place. Yeah. To jump to that next level, there needs to be a proper business and a business team and a CMO and a CEO. Like, and this is the stage that I'm in right now. That's a little scary for me, but exciting at the same time.
Right. Do you find that, like, how often are you doing the stuff now in your business that you were doing before? Has it, like, completely, like, your
goals? It's completely changed. I still do the stuff that I love doing. So I love email coaching. I will never pass that on to anybody else. I don't advertise my email coaching anymore though, so that I don't have a lot of people to work with, but I still love doing that, so I can still be a part of it. I still love doing my podcast. I love anything that has to do with me being on camera. I love that stuff. I'm just not doing the stuff before that I didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to say email coaching. So, like, people, just guys that are
just I have other coaches that do live coaching with guys, and I do other coaches that do phone coaching and mock dates with guys. Yeah. I don't want to do it anymore. Just like this, I'm wearing a bathrobe. I don't want to put my makeup on. As stupid as that sounds, but I love interacting with people. I love, like, we do a masterclass every single month, which is something I wanted you to come on and do for us. And we'll talk about that later. But I love doing these 2-hour masterclasses where this other expert comes on and teaches something new and refreshing to my audience. And like, I love to learn and I love to be a part of it. And I love to be the moderator. Like, that's stuff like I really enjoy. I enjoy being around my customers, but the everyday business stuff, like the nitty gritty stuff, like programming my emails and other,
right,
like, support. Yeah. I have other people doing that stuff now because it's not needed for me to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's always been the thorn, like, you know, finding people to do that and keeping them around.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, growing a business is a lot different than starting a business and all the different stages. it's cool to, you know, 15 people to manage. That's like a, you know, that's a legitimate, you know,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I just hired on a project manager, and that's a new thing for me. Like, to hire on, in my mind, I was like, I'm hiring on somebody to do the things that I'm supposed to be doing, or that you're not really directly making me money. Is that something I want to invest in? But that's been like a huge change for me to have somebody managing all these projects and having, like, we use monday.com. It's like this, I sound like a 50-year-old when I'm, or 60-year-old when I'm saying this, like this system that manages everybody, but it's like just this.
No, not at all.
But it's great. Like, I've never used things like this before. So this is all like a new space of having like structure and organization, so that if I do want to disappear, I can, because everything still runs really well with or without me.
Have you always had like the vision for the business, like where it's going, or have you had other people kind of helping you guide that?
Help guide for sure. I have a vision for what I want my life to look like and the things that I want to accomplish. But in terms of like what this business would be, no. And that's not a positive thing that I'm saying. I've always had like a number in my head for every single year, but it's also what I'm working on now, is having like a bigger picture of the 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years of where I want this to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I am bringing on other people to help me with now.
Yeah, I ask because that's always kind of been a challenge for me. I've always kind of thought, like, if I could just have someone to tell me what the fuck to do, it would be a lot easier. But that's kind of like being an entrepreneur, is you don't get anyone to tell you what
I know. But but this is what I'm learning. I'll send you this really good video that I got. It was from the owner of AppSumo. And it talks about how he almost sold his company, I think, for like $7 million. And now he just made $70 million this year. And these are the very similar growing pains that I am and was having. It's mm-hmm. that you're like, I can only get to this place and I don't know what to do. And I'm getting really bored of doing X, Y, and Z. And you lose momentum for a lot of things. So what he ended up doing was he ended up bringing on a CMO. And the CMO actually had this vision. And then together they created this vision. And it's expanded. And I mean, obviously from $7 million to $70 million a year.
That's right.
A huge vision change.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, marketing, you know, sales and marketing are the lifeblood of the business, right? Like mm-hmm. you can have the best product and just be the best kept secret in any industry. Cause if you can't sell it, you can't market it, you have nothing. Right. And it's luckily in this business, the two are kind of hand in hand. Like if you can teach people how to attract women, hopefully you can, you know, it's very similar.
Right. And that's great word of mouth for sure. Right. And that's going to continue, but to hear, it's going to get right. you to hear. And you can listen, all of us can have a very nice constant stream of revenue, constant stream of clients, nice lifestyle for the rest of our lives if we're good coaches. Right. It just depends on what your goals are.
Yeah. Yeah, I found myself, luckily I've been able to, you know, to find a way to not get too burned out with coaching. You know, like now I basically coach twice a year for like a week each time. But I'm like you, I love doing email coaching. You know, I do it through like a Discord group or a former Facebook group where I'm kind of doing it with a bunch of guys at the same time. But I love like hearing about a guy's date. And breaking down like, okay, she did this, you did this, this is where you screwed up, this is, you know, here's a text message you could respond to. Like, I love doing that, you know, in bed, you know, like hanging out.
Like when I wake up in the morning, just lying in bed and it makes my heart skip a beat. Like that, it does, it energizes me. And I need that fix to keep going and doing the other stuff. So,
and it keeps you relevant to like, you know, the things people are going through, or they're getting a message from a guy being like, oh my God, I went on this date with this girl who was like previously like way out of my league. This stuff works, and you know,
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I just realized we're about 5 minutes away from having to go do my podcast. If you do want to.
Oh yeah. So is your live, okay. So we're at a hard deadline. I was going
to
ask
you. Sorry. Yeah, it's not live, but my co-host is coming on. So that's why
perfect.
I'm interrupting to say that, but.
No, so it's been so cool kind of hearing the behind the scenes, you know, from one of the original gangsters in the industry, and how you grew your business. But, you know, in general, for guys listening, where can they find out about you? Where can they learn the Wing Girl Method?
Just go to winggirlmethod.com and sign up for my newsletters. And from there, I will tell you about every other space and place that you can get information from me. YouTube, podcast, programs, all of that. Winggirlmethod.com.
Cool. And I'll have all the links below. And, Marnie, thanks so much. It's been
thank you. This is awesome. I love going down memory lane. I think it's wonderful.
Super fun. All right. So I'll stop the recording there.